Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share because if you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. This episode is going to be talking about how to keep your love life alive. A very important subject to a lot of people because for some reason, once people get into a serious relationship, often it's the case that they stop doing romantic things. They stop dressing up, they stop dating each other, they stop actually making love and it becomes sex. That's it. But you know, real intimacy is so much deeper than just the physical sex, the chasing the orgasm. That's what a lot of people lose sight of. Because you know, it's easy to fall into the addiction of chasing the orgasm, but the fact is that sex and making love are two very different things. Yeah, on the face value, it might look like the same thing. It might look like you're getting the same result when you actually, you know, reach your climax in sex as well as you reach your climax in making love, but there's a big difference. When you reach a climax while making love with someone you truly, truly love, where there's 100% vulnerability and you have that person's being 100% vulnerable and you're being 100% vulnerable, there's a very, very big difference in the type of climax you reach. It's not just a body satisfaction. It's like a deep soul satisfaction where you're connecting on the deepest levels, where there are no barriers between you two. No amount of money can purchase something like that. That's something that has to be earned. But one thing that I've noticed is that time and time again, people start dating each other, and then, you know, after the what they call the honeymoon stage, they stop dating. I mean, they're still together, but they stop dating. From time to time, they'll go out and have lunch and or go out and have dinner, you know, but it's just going through the motions. It's just work. It's not desire. You're not doing this because you really love the person. You're not doing this because you want to build with the person. You're not doing this to sweep off your partner, off your feet. Now it's just work. You know, and it's easy to kind of fall into that with kids too. Like you have kids and your entire life becomes your kids, but you have to remember something, especially if you're married. Remember that your kids are not your life. I know a lot of people say, yes, my kids are my life. Wait a minute. Your kids are an extension of your marriage. Your life belongs to you. But you are a massive asset, a massive partner, an equal partner to your marriage or to your relationship. Your kids are an extension of that relationship. Your kids are not your life. Your family is your life. And guess who started that family with you? Your spouse. Your significant other is the one who started that family with you. So if you lose that, let's say both of you don't care. Both of you need to work harder at it. But if one person is trying, the other person's not, you know, you only have one person to blame. You can't easily turn the point the fingers at that person first. It's important whenever you're pointing fingers that you first point the finger at yourself and see where you are at fault. Were you doing your absolute best? Were you being patient? Were you being forgiving? A big one, were you throwing the past of your partner in their face? No one likes that. Yet for some reason, we often find that in marriages or in relationships where one person, and typically traditionally, it's the guy that makes the mistake or does something that hurts the girl's heart, you know, and then often is the case when a party is likely to throw the past in the person's face, more often than not, it is the mistake of the male partner that's usually thrown into his face. Now, like I said, there's always exceptions to every rule. Not all people act like this, but when this typically happens, it typically happens to the guy because the guy did something stupid or something that appears stupid. And the woman is going, well, you remember when you cheated on me that one day? Yeah, you cheated on me. If you didn't cheat on me, we wouldn't have these problems. You can only blame someone for so long. Like I've talked in a previous broadcast about the things that my father did to me when I was a baby up until I was 9 years old. Like he violated my innocence when I was a little kid, up until I was 9 years old. Now, I can easily blame him for all the pain that I've suffered. I can easily blame him for all the anger that I felt in my life. I can easily blame him for all the hearts that I've broken. I can easily blame him for all the times I've cheated on my exes. I can easily blame him for all the marriages I've destroyed between a husband and a wife because I wanted to sleep with their wife. I can easily blame him from all that. But the fact is that it wasn't his fault. My actions were 100% my fault. Now, if you're in a relationship with somebody and somebody made a poor choice, like cheating, if they cheated on you or did something that hurt you, but you can see that they're actually trying to be better, they're trying to move forward, you gotta let it go. You can't throw that stuff back in their face. You can't hold on to that. Because any misery that's coming as a result of your scars are now your fault. Because you have to be the one to make the choice to let it go, to move on, to forgive. If you don't want to forgive the person, then you need to end the relationship. Because you're only putting both of you through misery. And if you have kids, chances are you're going to put that kid through misery because you're always going to see you guys fighting. They're going to feel that toxic environment that you're creating. So if you want to keep the love life alive, one of the first things you have to do is forgive. You have to forgive each other. You can't throw each other's past in each other's face. And you have to make sure that you move forward. Leave the mistakes in the past. Take only the wisdom. Learn from those mistakes to the future. That's it. Number two, never stop dating. I don't care if you've been dating 2 days or 2 years or 2 decades. It doesn't matter. Never stop dating your partner. That is so critical. A lot of people do that. A lot of women get in relationships and they stop dressing up for their partner. They stop doing their makeup. They stop doing their hair. They just let themselves go. They don't care anymore because you're like, I got the man. You know, he's going to have to accept me for who I am. So are you saying that you lied the entire time you were, where you started dating them? Because I thought that's who you were too. But apparently not. If you're all like, well, yes, accept me for who I am. You should have put who you are on day one rather than put your best foot forward. You should put your honest foot forward and show who you are. And if they love you for you, then they love you for you. That's very unfair to sit there and change all of a sudden because you've been dating somebody for a long time and then you're trapping him into accepting you. That's not who you suggested. I mean, how would you feel, honestly? If somebody showed you this beautiful sports car, this car that was like super desirable by everybody, everyone was like, oh my gosh, this car is gorgeous. I want this car. And then you finally get your opportunity to buy one. And when you finally buy one, they sign you into a contract, no returns. You're going to have to pay this every month. You're like, oh, this is worth it. Let's go. And then about a month in, you drive in that car, you start noticing all these different bugs in the system and all these different problems happening with the car, and you're like, what is going on? I didn't sign up for this. I thought this car was going to be in better shape. I thought it was going to be doing this. I thought it was going to be more reliable. I thought it was going to be better on gas. It's draining my bank account because all this money is being poured into it, and I thought it was going to be far more affordable because it is a very low cost vehicle. I thought I could definitely afford it. Now I'm getting all these extra bills that I didn't plan for, and I'm stuck with them. I can't do anything about it. That's how it is with a relationship. When someone gets into the relationship one way, looking a certain way, maintaining this look and this attitude, and then all of a sudden, once you get in the relationship, you change. Like if you dress, you know, in a business way, or you dress a certain way and your man likes that, you know, he really likes that, why would you change? Why would you change who you are just because you're comfortable? I'm not saying that you have to walk around wearing girdles and wearing, you know, your Sunday best or wearing no clothes like you're about to go out to the club. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying don't sit there and stop caring about your appearance. You both have to be attracted to each other too. We can easily sit here and go, no, that's not true. That's not true. You need to love the person for them. Yeah, you do. But let's be real. If you're not attracted to anybody, there's not going to be much romance. You need to be attracted to your partner. And that takes a very big partner effort. It's not your responsibility to be the only one that cares for your health. You both need to be on the same page. You both need to be working together. You need to be trying to keep each other healthy. You need to be keeping each other accountable. Don't let yourself go. Keep looking good for yourself and your partner. And don't stop dating. Go out and do beautiful and cute things. You know, for you guys out there, you know, take your girl out to the park. Just have a picnic. And if you don't have the park, if there's not a park around you or it's just really crowded, why don't you do a picnic in your living room? You know, you can go ahead and buy a nice little projector and just, rather than use your TV to watch a movie, you can do, like, these are some ideas you can do. Seriously, you can put a projector on one of the walls in your apartment or your house. And if you don't have an apartment or a house, but you live with some family members or whatever, every situation is different. You can find a projector and a Bluetooth speaker to hook up that are not that expensive. And you could put a white sheet on the side of the house or side of some property that you're using or whatnot, or even tie it between two trees. And then you can have a movie. You can have a movie in the park. You can have a movie in your yard, in your garage, in the laundry room. Like, you, if you really want to find something, you can be creative. Because remember, when you first asked your partner out, you were creative on the dates you took her on. Why should that change? Just because you've been dating for a couple months or a couple years, why does that need to change? Even if you guys are homebodies, if you both are homebodies, that's cool. You could still do romantic things. Well, how come there has to be an occasion for you to do something romantic? One of the things that my fiance said to me that really just makes me feel like so blessed is when Valentine's Day comes around, she says Valentine's Day just feels like another day to me because with you, every day is Valentine's Day. That really showed me that I was doing the right thing. Because I do things for her just because. I don't need an occasion to do something for her. There have been many times where I've just brought her flowers just because. No special occasion, no event. Because if you always buy flowers when you mess up, then flowers are always going to be related to that. Even if you don't do anything to mess up, even if you're doing the right thing, you just thought about her. And let's say you buy her flowers all the time whenever you do something wrong, and those are your way of saying I'm sorry or I apologize. Well, guess what? If you decide that you want to just be sweet and buy her flowers and you give them to her, the first thing she's going to do is be like, what did you do? What are you keeping from me? What's wrong? And you're going to be like, nothing, babe. I just want to give you some flowers. And she's going to be like, nope, not buying it. You always get me flowers when you mess up. What did you do? And there's nothing you can say to teach her other, like to persuade her otherwise, because you've already identified this act as a result of this action. So if you just buy flowers, but don't, I encourage you, do not buy her flowers every week. Don't buy her flowers, you know, or give her a gift every week. Don't do that. Because if you do something always, people lose appreciation for that. If you buy flowers for your girl every week, the flowers start to be something she expects, and she's not going to be, we're human. When something is a normal thing for us, we tend to not appreciate it. Millionaires really only appreciate their money when they first get it. But after being a millionaire for a while, you don't really appreciate your money because that's your lifestyle. You don't remember what it's like to be poor. You don't think about what it's like to be poor. This is your lifestyle. So you don't think about anything else, but this is the norm. So if you get your girl flowers all the time, chances are she's not going to appreciate them like she would if you got them, you know, at inconsistent times. Once this week, once another couple weeks after that, you know, just because. If you just do it like that, she will appreciate them each time because she's not expecting them. There's no pattern there. You just happen to do it and she knows you're thinking of her. Another thing you can do is you can make her breakfast. Get up in the morning. I don't care how hard you work, how tired you are. If she's always the one getting up, or even if she stays at home, get up early one day, make her breakfast, bring her breakfast in bed. If she loves Lucky Charms or certain cereal, if she really loves cereal, it's still sweet to go pour her a bowl of cereal with a glass of milk. And there's lots of pictures on there about, you know, ways you can present it to her. You don't want to just sit there and throw a meal together. No. Think about what she likes and go make it for her. There are countless YouTube videos out there that you can use to make a meal. or to design or make a create a nice display of the meal so that it looks appealing. You don't even have to go buy flowers. There are so many flowers out and about. You can go just pluck a flower from someone's yard. I'm not encouraging you to go do something illegal or trespass, but I'm saying there's lots of flowers out there that you can get without having to spend a cent. You can get, you know, you can make mint tea if she's sick. You know, like, don't get so caught up in the things you want to do, because sacrifice is the greatest showing of love. When mothers give birth to children, they are literally risking their life, because every pregnancy carries a risk of death. It does. So mothers are showing an intense, uncomparable level of risking life. When they give birth to a baby they haven't even met yet, although they know it well because they've carried that baby for the last however long. So when you have the opportunity to take care of your sick partner, or you can go to a game with the guys, or go do something you really enjoy, I get that you'd be frustrated. But if you stay at home and take care of your partner, that's a loud declaration that you love that person. Now, here's a caveat. It's important to do that, but it's also important not to cast pearls before swine. If you're in a relationship with a toxic person that wants to drain your bank account or doesn't ever do anything for you, I'm not saying that you should expect this, but I'm saying that this should be team. Like, it should be teamwork. Both of you guys should be taking care of each other, sacrificing for each other, and loving each other, and doing the work to make this relationship happy. It is not the man's responsibility to make the relationship happy, and it's not the woman's. It's both of their responsibilities to make it happy. So, if you really want to keep your love life alive, never stop dating. Find things to do. You know, you can go to an arcade and just go in one of those little claw machines and win a doll. Win one of those little dolls and give it to her. That's cute. It's romantic. Maybe she's not into that kind of stuff. Maybe she's like a sports fan. Maybe she loves sports. Why don't you go play basketball with her one-on-one? Even if you suck at basketball, why don't you just go play a sport she likes? Go have a picnic, then go do that. Maybe she's never done something. She's never been out of her comfort zone. Why don't you take her horseback riding? Both you guys can learn together. If she's an adventure freak and she loves adrenaline rushes and stuff, why don't you both go skydiving? Go try to find out things that you can do. Now, skydiving is more expensive, yes. But I'm saying, like, there are dates out there that you can do without having to spend a cent. You can have that picnic in your living room floor. You can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, you can sit there. If you've already proposed and you guys are engaged, another thing you can do is just get a ring pop and just go through your proposal again. Just remind her of that special moment. Why don't you even write her a note? Write her a letter. You can mail that letter to her job with her name on it if she's in a position where she can receive mail there. You know, you can send her an email. Like, you know, I think an email would be nice, but I think a handwritten letter is something more special. You get a handwritten letter and just give it to her, like put it in a place where she looks often. It's just beautiful. You can even go to one of her coworkers and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you give this letter to this person? She'll know who it's from when she reads it, and he'll be like, all right, or she'll be like, okay. And they'll put it on your partner's desk. And then when they open it up and read it, they'll see that and you'll make their day because they know you were thinking about them. That's it. Don't stop doing cute things for each other. If you go inside a store with little dolls or something like that, you know your partner loves dolls, buy a doll. If you know she loves hot cocoa, make her a hot cocoa every once in a while. You know, when you guys are sitting down on the couch and you know she's been up on her feet for a long time, pick her feet up. Massage them. If she's got them junky feet that looks like she's been skipping on razor sharp rocks, prove your love, bro. Get in there and rub them feet. Get in that toe jam and start, you know, showing that you love her. You just start trying to say like a mantra, like a repetition to kind of calm yourself down. Like, it's going to be okay. It's out of love. It's out of love. It's out of love. It's out of love. Just don't smell your fingers. You know, as guys, we're going to smell our fingers when we get the clear. But she's not looking. We're just going to act like we're rubbing her nose or something like that. And then we're going to get a sniff just to see how bad it is. And we're like, oh, that's bad. And then we're going to wait for her not to look. And then we're going to do it again. I don't know what it is about guys and just like weird smells. We have to smell them. And women are like, guys, no. You guys don't have to hook, because when it comes down to pimples, women tend to really be infatuated with popping their pimples on their guy's back or something like that. I don't know. Like, I guess like all the women in the world got into a conference and said, one of the things we have to do, I don't care who you are, gay, straight, lesbian, whatever the case may be, you must pop your partner's pimples. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a conversation with my fiance, and I'll be talking to her about how my day went or something like that. And if I know I have a pimple on my face, she'll be looking at that sucker, and I know she's not paying attention. She's trying to be there, and she's trying to be supportive, and she's trying to listen to what I'm saying and actually, you know, be there for me and be supportive. But her eyeballs just keep going, kind of like that movie Austin Powers, Goldmember, where the guy with the big mole on his face, and he just kept looking at his mole. He's like, mole, 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 mole. She would just kind of stare at my pimple, and then as soon as I stop talking, her hands go right for it. She's just evicting it off my face. That's love for you, though, I'm telling you. You know, we all have our little shtick. So going back to the point is, make sure that you don't keep bringing the past mistakes of your partner up. Leave that in the past, let it go. Next, don't stop dating. Next, be a partner. Because if your partner is always, I mean, if you are the only partner in the relationship and the other one's a dictator or just, you know, a bag of weight, you know what I mean by that? It's a person who's not contributing. If that's the case, if you have somebody in the relationship who's not contributing, who you're just carrying their dead weight, what's the likelihood that they're going to want to stay romantic with you? You're not doing anything to turn them on. They're just going to be supporting you and babysitting you. So don't stop doing beautiful things. Don't stop being there for your partner. Wash the dishes. Don't have your partner, like, it is not the woman's job. I don't care what anyone else says. In my opinion, it's not the woman's job to wash the dishes. It's both your guys' job to wash the dishes, as it's both your home. Both you should be washing the dishes. Both you should be cleaning. Both you should be mopping the floor. Both you should be changing diapers. Both of you should be babysitting the kids. You know, both of you should be getting up in the middle of the night. You know, of course you would have a schedule and take turns, but nonetheless, both of you should be partners equally in this relationship. If your partner feels like they have a partner, the likelihood of them not being sexually attracted to you is severely minimized. Because I'm telling you, like, a lot of these guys that are out there saying, man, when you get married, you don't have sex anymore. That's true. When you get married, you don't have sex anymore. Well, when you look at majority of the guys making those statements, majority of those guys are lazy once they walk into their house. After they finish their job, they come home, they're just lazy. They sit down and don't do anything. So when their wife comes home, she's not trying to think about sex. She's thinking about, I got to get the kids ready. I got to get them baths or showers or whatnot. Get everything ready for school. Get all the lunches made and everything prepared. She's thinking about all this stuff that she has to do because no one else will do it. She knows the kids aren't going to do it. She knows her husband's not going to do it. So she's got to do it all. So what makes you think she's going to have the energy to sleep with you if you're going to be this lazy, good for nothing piece of dog crap that you're only good for working and bringing in paying bills? That's it. There's more to it, bro. You're a teammate. You have to contribute equally. Because remember, while you're at work, she's also doing something too. If she's a stay-at-home mom, she's raising your kids and keeping the house a home. That's a very tough job. It's not easy to sit there and chase around two-year-olds or infants. And it's not easy to sit there and be a parent of teenagers. Anyone who's a parent of teenagers knows it's not easy to be a parent of teenagers because they know everything. You're the idiot that knows nothing, and teenagers know everything. They look at you as though you have no idea what life is like in the real world, even though you have lived longer than they have. That's not easy. That is a frustrating. Any parent that has teenagers and has never had the thought of, I want to punch you in the mouth, you're probably insane. I think every parent has had that thought of, I just want to punch you right in your mouth for talking to me that way. Because teenagers, 9 times out of 10, teenagers got something smart to say at the worst time. But I'm just saying, it's just so important for us to remember that being a partner allows more energy for the fun things in the marriage. Don't stop being romantic just because you're together. I literally, it doesn't matter if I'm in Sam's Club or if I'm in, like, I've literally stopped driving. While we were driving on the road at nighttime, I'm listening to the music in my car and I pull over because I heard a special song. I pull over, I put the windows of my car down, put my hazards on, I get out of the car, walk around, and then I open the door for my fiance. She never opens her own door because I made that clear. You should never have to open your door. I'm a gentleman. I open the door to acknowledge the presence of a beautiful woman. So I open up, actually not a beautiful woman, a lady, excuse me. That's what I always say, a lady. But when I'm talking about my fiance, I always say my beautiful baby. So I've pulled over, opened the door. She got out and she was a little embarrassed at first. I was like, don't worry about everybody else, baby. It's just you and I. And we just started slow dancing to that song right there on the side of the road. There were no cars there when I first started dancing. But then I would see all these people out there just filming us, driving real slow and just filming us and making, you know, YouTube videos or TikToks or whatever. They're just like happy about our moment. But the thing is that that's our moment. It's a moment that she and I created in our love together. And that didn't cost us any money. That was a moment she will not forget that was free. There are times when I sit there and I put my arm behind her neck and I put my arm, my other arm around her waist. And I just, you know, like when people are dancing, they dip their partner, the guy dips the girl, you know, a nice deep dip. That's what I did with my fiance. And I just gave her one of those kisses where I swept her off her feet. I gave her one of those kisses and just lifted her up and she started blushing. And I'm not saying all this stuff to like boast or bragging about anything. I'm trying to say these things to make a point. That you can create a romantic moment basically anywhere. You really can. If you're willing to open up and you're willing to give it a shot, you really can create a beautiful, special, and romantic moment with your partner. So don't ever forget that. The romance in the relationship depends on both of you guys participating. If you have a baby that you're trying to put to sleep and your girl's awake, that's another opportunity for you both to get in there and start dancing. You just put on some John Legend for those of you who love R&B, Chris Stapleton for those of you who love country. And if you love death metal, I strongly encourage you, don't put on any death metal while you're trying to put the baby back to sleep. It's probably not gonna work. You know, just think about the baby's trying to go back to sleep. You're like, rawr! You know, that's not going to really help the baby out. But the thing is that you can create a romantic moment anywhere. And the most special romantic moments are created when there's lots of other people around, but the only one you're focusing on is your partner. If she feels like the only woman in the world, when there are tons of other women around, you're doing your job right. Same thing for you women, for you ladies out there. I mean, a lot of guys won't admit it, but we need to feel handsome by you. Like, we really need to feel that we're worth more than a paycheck. And I'm talking on behalf of the good men out there, the guys who really are trying to make the relationship good. For all you women out there thinking, oh, I don't need a man. I'm an independent woman. I pay my bills. I have my own car. I own my car. You know, I pay my car note. I don't need nobody to take care of my bills. I don't ever hear guys bragging about that, even though typically we tend to do the same things. We don't call ourselves boss dudes because we do that. That's called being an adult. You're being an adult by paying your own bills and sustaining yourself and supporting yourself. That's being an adult. There's nothing to boast about. If you're a boss, like, you know, some women call themselves boss bees, but you're working for somebody else, nah. A boss, if you are a boss, you own your own company. You pay other employees to work. You don't have to come in, you know, every day. You can sleep in if you want to, and you still get paid. That's being a boss. Waking up in the morning saying, you know what, I'm going to go have lunch today in Paris. And you charter a jet to go to Paris, that's being a boss. That goes for males and females. So stop boasting about how independent you are. Because if you're going to sit there and talk about finances being your number one focus, well, I'm not going to date a guy if he, you know, if he doesn't have the same kind of money as me, or he's not making at least as much as I'm making, or more money. If money is the number one reason what you're looking for in a person, you're missing the big picture. Because I'm telling you, for the longest time, I was blinded about what real beauty was. I thought real beauty, because we were brainwashed from a young age with all the Disney movies out there. Look at all those Disney movies and cartoons. Every time you would see, back in the 90s and 80s, etc., when you would see female cartoon characters out there, they have beautiful butts, they had tiny little waist and a nice pair of boobs that were very symmetrical to their body. And they had all these little features on facial features that made them appear what we were told to believe was beautiful. Everything was always aesthetic. It was always the outer or the exterior appearance of the person. But we never focused on the inside. Like the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Quasimodo was one of the first films to show the inner beauty of a person, where he was able to actually get this beautiful woman as a result. But that typically was not the standard of the day. It's typically not how we were taught to look beautiful. Every time you see these magazines with all these models in it, there's always these gorgeous people. But why were they gorgeous? We didn't know their personality. We didn't know their hearts. We didn't get to see their character. We just saw the average thing on these people, and we were taught that that is what beauty is. And then we started learning about race and how certain races are not beautiful. We started learning all these different things, and we were brainwashing to see what beauty was. But a lot of those women that want a man that makes that kind of money, a lot of times those marriages and relationships do not work out. Why? Because they work so much, they're both focused on money, and they don't date. They're not happy with each other. Everything is like a business meeting. It's a business contract rather than a loving relationship, a loving family. They're not happy. Neither of them are. Neither of them are actually dating each other or doing romantic things. Do you think that a woman who's making that kind of money and wants a man that's making that kind of money, do you think she would appreciate a ring if it cost $1,000, even if it was real diamond? I believe, my personal opinion, there's not a chance that she would appreciate that. She would probably look down and be like, nuh-uh, it has to be at least 5 digits. You have to get at least 5 digits in the cost. If it's not at least $10,000, I don't want it. You know, everything's about finance. Everything's about money. Would you rather have somebody that looks at you as a paycheck? No man wants to be looked at as that. No good man wants to be looked at as a paycheck, just like no woman wants to be looked at solely as a baby-making mother or a baby-making at-home, stay-at-home wife, because she's so much more. Both of you guys are so much more than that. Am I correct on that? I believe each of us wants to be valued for our character, for who we are. And it took me getting my heart broken to realize that true beauty has little to nothing to do with the exterior. It has everything to do with the things that actually make you fall in love. Loyalty, honesty, integrity, trust, selflessness, the sensual capacities that the person has to kind of flirt with you. Like, I love those things. That's what you fall in love with. Those are the things that build a lifestyle, build a family. And if we're not careful, we're gonna miss that. Those are three basic things that I said. Don't throw your partner's past in their face. Never stop dating, and treat each other as a partner. Three basic things. If you're exhausted, take a second to relax, get your energy back up, and then get right in the ring and help your partner. There are going to be times you're so exhausted, you're going to need to take an hour nap or something, but make sure your partner knows, like, hey, can I just go take an hour real quick? And your partner's like, yeah, I got you. And then when you go to sleep and you wake right up, get right on it. You see your partner making dinner, get in there. Can I help you out? What can I do? I never have to ask my fiance that. She asks me every time I cook, what can I do? What do you need help with? Sometimes I have to tell her, nothing, babe. You go relax. This is my turn. And I just take care of her. But the fact is that I've never had a time where I was in there in the kitchen alone without her asking me, is there anything I can do to help? Because she's really my partner. I got a real one. And it took me going through hell. And I'm not trying to sit there and sound like I'm 100% little angel, because in my past, I was not. I was a dog. I've broken lots of hearts. But when I got my heart broken, my heart was broken many times. And those times reminded me of the hearts that I broke. And when God knew I wasn't going to break any more hearts, that I was an honorable man, He brought this woman into my life. And she was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And we have such a deep, intimate connection. And it has nothing to do with sex. I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm talking about the overall intimacy. When we walk out in public, we're best friends. When we're mad at each other, we're still best friends. We're just having a disagreement. But we don't bring our drama out on the street. She doesn't blast me on social media. When we have disagreements, that stays between her and I. And no one else can tell. Because we don't treat each other different. We never cuss at each other. We never call each other names. We don't scream at each other. We darn sure don't put each other's hands on the other person. We show each other respect. Like when we first started talking, we first started dating, she was used to a certain type of relationship standard in her past, and so was I. But, you know, we were in two different parts. She was in a toxic relationship, and I was in toxic relationships as well, but I was the good one, and she was the good one. So whenever I would want to say something that I shouldn't say to her, just because I'm feeling some type of way, I would stop talking. And there's a couple of times she was like, no, say what you want to say. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to say it. And she'll kind of eat me on, like, no, say what you want to say. Open your mouth. Say what you want to say. Go ahead, say it. And then one day I just kind of spoke very firmly. I said, stop. Stop trying to taunt me. I am responsible for every word that I say to you. I am not going to face God knowing that I disrespected His daughter with my words. Give me a second to calm down so that every word I speak is full of love and respect. That was the last time we ever had that issue. When you're upset and you know you're upset, take a second to calm down. Don't take all day, don't take hours, and don't use silence to punish the other person. I'm not talking to you. Because if a bullet flies through that window or that wall and kills your partner that you don't want to talk to, chances are you're going to think, man, that was such a stupid argument. I wish I would have talked to him. I wish I would have said goodbye. I wish I would have told him I love him, or whatever the case may be. Don't use silence as a weapon. Remember, when you argue or you have disagreement, you still love each other. You're still partners and you're still on the same team. Don't forget that. Don't start talking to each other like you hate each other, because you don't. You love each other. And let that be the number one focus. Let every word you say be full of love and respect, because your children will measure the type of person they date and marry based off the type of people you are to each other. Now, I know I got some listeners right now, and I definitely welcome your opinions. If you guys have some feedback, I definitely welcome your opinions. I would love to hear from you. If there's something you think I'm missing, there's something you would like me to elaborate on, if you have an idea of something that's really special, share it with us, because that actually can help us all become better. I know there's lots of little ideas and little things we can do to make the romance in our relationship even stronger, and that's the goal of this message. I definitely welcome you to come on here and open up and share some things that you guys have, if you have anything. But all in all, we just can't forget that in a relationship, the aim is for eternity. It's not about death. It's not a couple of years. It's about eternity. Keep your love life alive. Keep that love life alive. That requires each of you trying. That requires each of you putting the work in your relationship. Now, do not settle for somebody who has good looks. I'm serious about that. Somebody taught me that once, and that actually blew my mind when I heard that first. Don't settle for good looks. You don't fall in love with good looks. You fall in lust with good looks. You fall in love with character. You fall in love with integrity, with morals, with mutual beliefs. Those are the things that build love. So in closing, I encourage you to look for opportunities to show your love. And make sure your partner knows you love them. Don't assume they know. Make sure they know. Let your actions speak loudly. And at times, let your words speak love. But make sure you never speak hate, no matter how mad you are at each other. Because in a family of love, there is no room for hate. Remember that. In a family of love, there is no room for hate. Thank you so much for spending time with me on Real Talk with RJ. Signing out.